Welcome to Reinvention Ready. I'm your host, Janie Genosis. I have a treat for you. Robin Sauls is my guest, and I can't wait for you to meet her. She is a fierce trailblazer and entrepreneur, and her passion is empowering women. As CEO and founder of Tangled Silver Magazine, Robin inspires women to embrace life with celebration and authenticity. Her magazine is by and for Silver Gray Sisters, who are changing the narrative around women growing older and defining beauty and aging for themselves. Robin, thank you so much for joining me today. I am super excited to talk with you.
Oh, well, thanks for inviting me. I'm excited to talk with you as well.
So, Robin, you are literally changing the conversations around aging and beauty. Can you share how you decided to start your magazine and how it's evolved?
Sure. First, I want to say, I don't think it's me as much as it is that I just happen to be lucky enough to be running into all these women willing to share their stories with me, right? I mean, that's the really exciting part. So the magazine started back in, well, the thought process started around 2018 when I decided to go silver. And I wasn't seeing images, visuals that spoke to me of what I thought it was going to look like or what I expected I was going to look like. They were still all the very outdated grandmotherly, and I love being a grandmother because I'm a grandmother, but very outdated looks. And there just wasn't anything visual making it kind of look like this could be fun. And yet there were young women paying to go silver. Mm-hmm. And there were older women like myself, and we were paying to cover it up, and that didn't make a lot of sense. So when I couldn't find images and I started embracing my journey, I was just like, okay, this has got to change. This has got to change. And in December, I think it was 2020, it was 2020. I went online and just said, okay, I'm done. I went on my Instagram and made an announcement that, hey, middle of January, 2021, I'm launching Tangled Silver Magazine to spotlight silver women and silver hair and inspire us all. And my husband came upstairs and went, did you just post what I think you just posted? And I went, yes, I did. And he goes, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm launching a magazine that's going to feature silver women and share their stories. And he was like, have you even talked to anybody? Nope. But I have this list already of who I want to reach out to that I've been following for a while now. And I just kind of took that leap off the diving board. Wasn't sure if there was any water in the pool, but I was going to jump anyways. So that's kind of the gist of how the magazine itself was born.
And it started with hair, which I think is so cool. And exact mine, you can't see. I am probably 25% silver, but because I'm a natural blonde, it blends in, so you can't see. But right. I like you. I said when I was, I think when I was in my 30s, I'm like, well, when my hair goes gray, I'm just gonna be a lady with long gray hair. And I've been saying that for years, and it's slow, you know. I mean, but it's definitely a little bit of a different color than it was when I was younger. There's sort of a whiteness to it that wasn't there before, but I'm sure, I don't know how long it'll take. I had a grandpa who died in his 80s and still had salt and pepper hair. So
wow.
It's inherited. You know, my husband started going gray when he was in his 20s. So it's different for everybody. And I love that you are embracing this and making it such a beautiful thing. Your magazine is gorgeous. Going through it and looking at the visuals and reading the stories and talking mm-hmm. about folks who, I mean, it starts with hair, but I like that you're really redefining what it means to be silver as we speak, you know, that aging thing that, you know, the word, you know, the word is that the maiden mother crone thing. Crone has such a negative connotation, and learning more about it, I'm like, it actually isn't. It is actually the wise woman, you know, when we come into this maturity, there's beauty in that. And I think it's beautiful that you're putting it out there. So tell me a little bit how it's evolved from hair to so much more now.
Yeah, you know, it started off as the hair subject because I was really, like I said, the visuals and also trying to understand the care of it. There was a lot more to it than I thought. It wasn't a matter of just like people say, you know, oh, you just don't care anymore because you've stopped coloring. I'm like, oh, no, wait a minute. I actually care more now because I had to learn a whole lot more to actually get my hair in good condition and what to do to take care of gray hair, because it's just not a matter of stopping the dye and, oh, here it comes, right? And for me, the journey was also like a good, this is my fifth year now. And so it's taken a good 5 years to get to where I'm at now. And it's still changing, ever changing all the time. So yes, it started off as a hair thing to help those who were going silver. And then as I started meeting more women that were going silver, I realized they had these really awesome stories behind it. Some of them were specific reasons for why they went silver. Some of them were health reasons. Some of them were one lady, Janine, I absolutely love her. She's actually one of our contributors. Her story was that she shaved off all her hair to help a niece who was going through cancer and that was being supportive as her niece was having her head shaved. And what came back with this was this beautiful white that she had no idea was under there. And she's never looked back since. So there were just all these different really unique stories behind it. And so, yes, well, it started with hair. All of a sudden, I started realizing that, like, it's a journey that starts with the hair and then starts transforming on so many other levels. It's like you're peeling back the onion, right? And all of a sudden there's all these other pieces that you never realized or that you thought you had okay, but then you realize all of a sudden it's a different new awakening to who you are. And for those of us that are silvering in midlife, because, you know, there's, again, silver can happen. You said your husband was silver at 20. I've met women that have been silver at 13, and, you know, so it can be at any age because of our DNA. But I find that when we're in midlife and we're finally letting our silver shine and we're rebuking all the color, that gray right out of your hair that we grew up with at this age, right? And all the negative connotations that were wrapped around it. I find that we start discovering all these things about us. Like for me, I thought I was pretty competent, but then I really realized that, like, I overcame this whole thing. Like, I had to have everybody like me. I didn't like it. If somebody didn't like me, it would drive me batty. I'd be like, well, why don't they like me? I mean, I think I'm gonna, why don't they like me? But I started getting people that were coming, like, are you sure you want to go gray? Oh, it's gonna make you look older. And I found myself not getting, you know, I didn't put on this major armor, which sometimes I think we have to because we get darts thrown at us. But what I found is that, like, that Robin that used to have to care and had to have everybody's opinions in my brain suddenly started shutting them out. What I do doesn't hurt you. If my hair is silver, what does that matter to you? I'm not asking you to go silver. I'm just asking you to understand that, like, my hair color and my age aren't what make me relevant. I'm what makes me relevant. The person I am today is what makes me relevant, not the shade of my hair or, you know, my age or what I'm doing, which is such a thing. We get scared about this whole midlife journey. And I realized that for me, like, I don't understand why that became a thing at one point, because I grew up with my grandmother. She was beautiful. I would brush her hair for hours on Saturday mornings. She had this beautiful white hair. I worked in nursing homes, volunteered in them when I was in middle school. Like, I was never afraid of aging. And then all of a sudden society in the 80s, especially, we're really emphasizing that we need to stay young, that we need to color our grays out. And all of a sudden it became this battle. Like, I didn't care about it inside necessarily. I know aging's going to happen because we can't stop it, but suddenly became more of that, like, oh, the roots are showing, got to go cover those. Oh, the roots are showing, got to go cover those. And yeah, it was just kind of a crazy thing. So it became so much more about our stories and about who we become as women when we go through this process, because we discover so many things about ourselves that maybe we thought we had in a good place, and maybe they were in a good place for our 20s and 30s and 40s, but in our 50s, they're not serving us any longer. Mm-hmm. And so we start discovering that, oh, wait a minute. Okay. And then we start making those switches to the things that serve us more. Styles, you know, we get told, I think you would agree with me, that we're told, like, you know, you're not supposed to have long hair at a certain age. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be really curly. You're not supposed to wear makeup this way, or not supposed to wear this shade of color, or blah, 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 blah. Can't wear a short skirt once you're old. Like, all these things that were like, who made those decisions? Who made those guidelines for us? And then why do we not challenge them more? Why, as women, do we stop and go, oh my gosh, okay, I'm over 50. I'm not supposed to have long hair, so I'm going to go cut it. Now, don't get me wrong. If you rock short hair, rock it. Because, right. I mean, I am envious sometimes of the women that have short hair and it looks beautiful. I've had short hair before. It's not my favorite look on myself. So I like it long. And yet for somebody to challenge me and say, well, don't you think your hair is a little long for your age? I'm like, absolutely not. And again, what does it hurt you? No. So, like, why? Like, we have to let go of all those things. And I think that's been a big part of this journey for me, and the journey for most of the women I'm speaking to, is they are coming into this own purely loving ownership of who they are today. They're not dwelling on where they were yesterday, and they're not focused on, oh gosh, how do I stay in yesterday or get to the future? They're just focused on today. And that's what I think is the most important thing the lesson we learn is this. And it started for me with the color. Like, I didn't realize all the things I had to let go of until I let go of coloring.
One thing snowballed into, yes, just this phenomenal and wonderful resource for women. And I think I had another friend who said something about her life, you know, as she was growing older, she felt like she needed to be in a relationship. And she's kind of in our age group. And she said, you know, I started to think about it and I am in a relationship with myself. And I need to learn to love myself. And I was like, wow, that is so powerful, because we do, you know, and we grow up with so many things that they put us in boxes for this and for that, and we believe things. And then you get older and decide, do I really need to believe this anymore? Is this still true? Was this ever true? And to let go of it is liberating. And I think as we get older, we get a little braver to let go. I think there's less concerns. I don't know what it is. I always heard women say, oh yeah, I can wear whatever I want now, I'm this age. And it's such a nice thing to say, yes, you can. And yeah, it doesn't mean you don't care about how you look. It just means you're not having to fit into that box anymore. That box is, you know, put the box in the recycling bin.
Yeah, so we've gotten out of that thing where we have to look like everybody else around us. You know, it's like when you're thinking about when you're in high school, your clique or your friends, right? You're all kind of similar. You're all wearing the same styles. You're all doing the same activities. Whereas you get to this older age, and I think that it's just a common thing that happens, that we start realizing, like, okay, like I can still be friends with everybody, but I can also still display who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I can be true to who I really am. And, you know, maybe I loved those looks when I was in my teens, but like right now, do I want to look that way now? You know, maybe not. Maybe I do, but it's mm-hmm. this opening that we don't have to fit in with every single person to be relevant. We can make our choices for ourselves.
There is a freedom there that we should embrace and be who you want to be.
And I think for women especially, we need to take back ownership. Those spoon-fed stories you were talking about, things putting us in boxes. We need to take back the ownership and realize that we, only us, you, myself, every single woman, individual, it doesn't have to be one, but just an individual has the right to define age and beauty on their terms. My terms are going to look different than your terms are, and that's okay. Nobody should tell us you're wrong, I'm right. That's not the case when it comes to aging. Some of us have, you know, genes, like my grandmother was in her late 90s, and you know, would have never known she was in her late 90s when she passed. So do I think I have good genes as far as I'm aging? I sure hope I have her genes, because she was such a wonderful woman. And at the same time, I also get that, like, yes, I'm not a person that says don't color, don't, if you want to do Botox. I'm about, let's do what makes you feel good about yourself, and you define it. Don't let somebody else tell you, oh, you can't have long hair because you're over 50. Or, oh my gosh, you can't Botox, that's just awful. Like, define it for yourself. Yeah. That's the key thing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Live and let live and embrace it and do what makes you feel good too. I think it's important for people to feel okay taking care of themselves and making themselves their best. And that's going to be different for everybody. But I think that underlying issue is, you know, you deserve to take care of yourself. You deserve to feel beautiful.
Yeah. And we have to fill our glasses, right? Our cups, because we give so much. I feel like women, sometimes we take the back seat, right? We got to take care of our husbands, our spouses, well, I guess that's the same thing, partners, kids, parents, especially as we're getting aging, right? Mm-hmm. And all these things, and you're like, and all of a sudden you're going, I feel kind of like I'm exhausted. It's because you've let your cup get down to the bottom. You got to keep refilling it. And the best way to do that is by loving yourself first. I mean, sometimes people say, well, that sounds selfish. And I'm like, how can you love somebody else if you can't love yourself? So you've got to really keep your cup full for it could overflow into everybody else.
Yeah, that's a great way of saying it too. Same as the old adage about oxygen mask, put yours on before you assist anybody else. And you have to be able to breathe. You have to be able to be nourished before you can nourish somebody else. Great.
Exactly.
Great point. So Robin, your book has tons of stories, and you've been doing this now since 2018. What story or two can you share that really, like, really touched you? Some of your favorites from the magazine.
That's really hard. I mean, I was trying to think about what kind of questions you'd be asking me, and I get that asked quite a bit. And the reality for me is, I mean, there's not any one, again, I have to come back, there's not one in particular. Every single issue, I'm like, it's my favorite issue. But the last issue was my favorite issue. It's like, oh, this next one was my favorite issue, because I get so excited with the women we get to share. And as we've gone from just more focused on your story as to why you went silver, we're now focusing on the stories about how they're changing that, and how that quick change, a color change, suddenly has turned into reinventing themselves in so many other ways. There's women that started off as school teachers or school librarians that went silver, and all of a sudden have these modeling careers that have come out of just making the change of color. And now they have this, they're so much bolder than they were. That's what they're telling me. Like, I'm emboldened now to step out on my own and just do whatever I want to do. There are women that are, you know, starting new careers when they thought that they were going to be on the downside of life. Like, you know, that whole outcast, they're like, oh, once you hit 50, it's all downhill. No, I mean, for many of us, we're just now really coming to life in a sense, or really finding that true path that we want to be on right now. The path that is about, you know, most of us at this age, our kids are grown, so they're out having their own lives. And suddenly you get to come back and go, huh, so what do I want to do now? What do I want to give back to the world? How can I make a difference now? And so I'm finding that a lot of women, the stories I'm just getting all these wonderful things, or they're taking one talent that they have that they didn't think they'd be able to turn into a business, and they are. And that's right. I'm like, my story, I did not go to school for magazine publishing. I just, you know, threw on the boots and knew what I wanted to do, had it envisioned in my mind, and just took the skills I had to move forward with that. So if you'd asked me 20 years ago, are you going to have a magazine someday down the road, I would have laughed at you and said, are you kidding? Are you crazy? Like, yeah, no. So a lot of the stories are about just those changes, those envelopes of grabbing things. And then there's stories like my friend Sherry. She was one of the first women I followed because she had long, gorgeous silver hair. And her handle at the time, oh gosh, it was like the silver-haired mermaid or something along those lines. It was just really awesome. Oh, gypsy mermaid or something. But she had this gorgeous long hair, which is how I found her. And I absolutely loved her. And so I was like, how do you get your hair so long? Because mine was at my shoulder length at that point. And she had like the idea of what I hoped to have. And as we've talked, and here we are like 5 years later, and she now has gone through this own metamorphosis of her own, where she's gone from like this long flowing hair to this short, choppy, stylish, funky style that it just speaks sass to her. And for her, you look at her both ways and she rocks both ways. And her energy level is just magnetic. I mean, you just want to be around her because either long hair or short hair, it just shows that you don't, it's not about the decisions we make that are on the outer appearance. It's about who we are on the inner appearance. And so I love watching her because she's journeyed through a lot of things. And it's just unique finding that piece of it. So I really just think it's the, like I said, I can't pinpoint just one specific story because it wouldn't do justice to all the stories that I've heard if I'm only telling you one. Like, it's all of them.
But I love that about, you know, Sherry went from long to short. She rocked the gray both ways, and it's fun sometimes to play. You have in the most recent issue a woman doing a glasses change.
And
before we got on, we were both talking about glasses and eyesight as you get older, and oh man, it's challenging. I'll just say that. But I loved that she tried all these different glasses on and found a pair that, you know, she had had the pair that was sort of her signature for years and years and years.
And then all
of a sudden, boom, she's got this new pair of glasses, and same person, you know, same energy, I'm sure, but just something fun and different. And I think for some people, women especially, it can be a little scary to mix it up and to let go of something. Like in my case, I've had long hair. I started growing my hair out when I got out of like high school. I started growing it, but I was more of an adult because I always had really short hair as a little girl. My mom used to cut my hair, and I hated my hair because it was always kind of like short, and you know, I had little bangs and and it was just not me, you know. And so finally I'm like, I'm just going to grow it out. And then I had my first husband, he always told me, if you cut your hair, I'll divorce you. Well, as soon as I got divorced from my first husband, I said, I'm cutting my hair, you know, and I went and got this haircut, and it was rebellion, you know, just because he always said I couldn't. And I hated it. I hated my haircut. So I grew it back. And I have had like this has been me. And I'm always thinking, do I want to rock the boat? Do I want to cut it? Do I want to change it? I don't know. I mean, I'm really content with it the way that it is. So in that respect, probably not, you know, I mean, but I
hear that. I think that no matter what we do, right? Like, I think if we're using like hair, right, the women that have short hair are like, oh, they sometimes think about going long, but they're not sure they can do it. And those of us will, like, I have the same thing. Every once in a while, I'll be so close to me, like, okay, this time I'm going to do a different, I'm going to cut it different. I'm going to cut it shorter, add layers or something like that. And then I don't know for you, Arsene, but right around the same time I'm feeling like that, I suddenly will have some really good hair days, or somebody will come up to me, a stranger on the street, and go, oh, I just love your hair. And I'm like, what was I thinking? I can't get rid of it now. Like, you know, but I think that's something we kind of all in everything in life, right? Like we get used to going along one way and we're doing things and it works. And so we don't necessarily want to rock the boat because we don't know what might be on that other side. But I want to encourage everybody, like, yes, try rocking the boat every once in a while. Maybe it's not a matter of you're rocking the boat with your hair, but like rock your boat with something else. Maybe it's a new sport. Maybe it's a new hobby. Maybe it's starting a magazine. Maybe it's starting a podcast. You know, it's like rocking that boat and pushing ourselves out of the comfort zone, I think helps us, especially as we are in midlife, to realize that, like, oh my gosh, there's so much more to life. And let's share that message with the next generation. I mean, granted, they all seem very open now. They're all trying things that we never would have done, right? I mean, like, gosh, in my 20s, 30s, I would have never thought about letting my silvers come in. That just wasn't what we were all being told and spoon-fed. So I love that they're more dynamic, but I want to keep that. I don't want to see that fade away. I don't want to see that like it's a fad. It's silver's all the rage right now. They're doing it right now, but then it dies out because people forget that it's more than that. It's that whole embracing of aging, and stop sending the messages out there to everybody that youth is better, aging's not, because it's not. And you know, the camps that are out there, the anti-aging and pro-aging camps, drive me batty, because realistically what they're really trying to get to the bottom of everything is living your best self today. And some say it's anti-aging, use the terms anti-aging, some say it's pro-aging. You know, pro-aging is means you want to be, but those drive me nuts. That drives me nuts. Absolutely not. That battle drives me nuts. And I have to deal with women sometimes getting mad with me if I'm talking pro-aging terms, sometimes getting mad at me if I say anti-aging terms. And I'm like, how about just like ageless terms? I mean, there's the definition of that can kind of get you a little caught up in a battle zone there. But for me, I picture myself as ageless because I don't think my age defines me. So you don't get to say to me, oh, I am 56. You don't get to say, oh, that means you're in this little box here. Because it doesn't. It all depends on how we're incorporating life. Like, can I do some things that somebody younger can do? Probably not. But can I do other things that maybe I'm going to do them a little bit wiser because I have that wisdom that's come with getting to this point? So I think that like pushing ourselves out of the box a little bit, especially in midlife, and not being afraid to try new things is key to the aging process of staying your best you.
And your story about just starting your magazine. Boom. I mean, what was it? Just, I mean, you just woke up one morning and said, I'm doing this? Or, I mean, you said you had been inspired by seeing people and what, why?
So Tangled Silver Magazine is not my first dabble into magazines. Okay. I've been an entrepreneur most of my life. I never wanted a 9-to-5 job. So I've always tried to find a way to do something on my own. And one of my ventures right before Tangled Silver, I was doing a group, wine tastings, because there wasn't anything like that in Colorado, a group of women, and we were coming together and we were doing some traveling for wineries and all that sort of fun stuff. And I was doing a newsletter and I felt that was boring. So I created my first magazine, which was called Sip on Life, to spotlight women winemakers. I've always been big on supporting women businesses that are owned by, you know, women support. And I thought in that time frame, there were a lot of women winemakers that weren't getting recognition like the men were. So my magazine at that point was focused on women winemakers. But again, as things change and COVID kind of came along and shut kind of certain things down and life started focusing in my, I stopped COVID. Unfortunately, I did catch it. And what it did for me is it ruined my taste of red wine. I was a big, heavy, hearty red wine drinker. And now big, hearty red wines taste like metal to me. And this is like 4 years later. So as my love for wine kind of started changing around a little bit and I was getting totally caught up into my gray thing, I was like, oh, and then again, there were no visuals. I already kind of knew what I was doing with the silver, with the wine magazine pieces, and just knew that I was going to jump it and do it. So it was a sudden like, boom. I had really no thought as far as like the stories were just about the silver hair, because I hadn't really thought out loud to myself other than I just knew I wanted to share better visuals. And since then it's kind of come down. So it was new, and yet I was dabbling a little bit before that, but not to any extent like this has. I mean, I feel like when the first issue went live, I was amazed. I had not intended to turn this into truly a full-blown magazine. It was meant more as like a love letter to the community showing what it could be like. But so many women reached out when they saw it. I'm like, oh my gosh, we need this. and it's just kind of taken over from there. I've been so touched by the women I get to meet through this magazine that I can tell you I never met in the years doing the wine or doing the Sip on Life magazine. And those relationships that I'm growing with now, I mean, I feel like everybody that comes to this magazine becomes a friend or part of our family to some level, because it's just a unique sisterhood like any other I've seen.
That's so cool. And I think the sisterhood concept, I don't know about you, I felt like I was more of a loner until I got to be older. And now I'm really craving that sisterhood. Some women are always there and always have that group of girlfriends. And I had like close friends, but I never had like that community. And I'm feeling it more and finding it more as I get older. Is that same for you, or have you always kind of had that sisterhood?
Yeah, no, I think so. You know, I think when we're younger, we have those groups, and then we all go off and the adult life kind of comes in, and some of those times with your girlfriends kind of start falling apart, which is why I started the wine group. I needed, my daughter was graduating high school, I needed female friends again. And I didn't realize it until that how much I had missed having that regular girl time. So yes, I think we get to a stage where all of a sudden we realize that, like, yeah, I mean, there's lots of things, our spouses, our kids all fill us to a lot of levels, but there's just something about having that sisterhood of girlfriends that are just going to chat with you, just listen, support you. You know, sometimes you're crying together, sometimes you're laughing together, but it's just that sisterhood. And especially this one, I had just found really exceptional.
And our journeys are comparable too. I think when you can share what you're going through, like you're going through getting gray hair, you know, somebody that is younger may not be able to relate to that or understand what that happens, or menopause, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Or vision, or caring for an elderly parent, or dealing with empty nester syndrome.
We are not meant to be alone. We really aren't. We're not meant to be alone. We really are meant to travel in packs. You know, I call my contributors our she pack, because I am a wolf lover. I believe that, you know, I love the whole concept that they come as a pack together. You know, nobody is left behind. They each have a role. They each play a role within their pack, but they're stronger together than they are apart. And I love that concept. And I think that women, we sometimes forget, we get this thing, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this on my own. I'm a woman, I can, but yet we really do need that support of our sisters around us, even if it's just to have that shoulder, that person you just go, this is what happened today. And they go, I got your back. You know, I got you, sister. Like, it's just, you just need that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's really great. So Robin, this has been such a fun conversation. Is there anything like advice you would give to somebody who maybe is wanting to start a business and they're in their 50s, or, you know, what would you say to somebody who wants to kind of rock the boat a little bit? What advice would you give them?
Gosh, you know, if you're looking to start a business, what I would tell you is don't overthink it. I mean, obviously I told you guys, I walked off that and just jumped off the diving board and leaped in. I had a lot of people going, why on earth did you do that? You have to do this, 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 this. And the thing with that is, yes, do you have to have some structure when you're looking at doing something? Yes. But if you get bogged down trying to figure out all the structure pieces, you never get off that diving board in the first place. So what I like to tell somebody is, if you're thinking about doing something, don't overthink it. Yes, you got to have some structure. You're going to have to put those together. But get the main thing out there. What propelled me and why I told my husband I did that post was, I knew the minute I posted it publicly, I had to make it happen. And I gave a deadline. I was like, I actually think I said it was like January 15th, 2021. So I gave myself like a 6-week window. So here's what's going to happen. That magazine doesn't go live. I just look pretty silly for having said it was coming out and not doing it. So suddenly all the structure that maybe I didn't have necessarily all in place was lined up in the next 6 weeks. And since then has all come into play as I discovered new things and know that it's okay to make mistakes. We rise from our mistakes. You know, those mistakes sometimes are the best things that happen to us because they give us the tools for the next thing that gets us to the next level. So if you're thinking about starting a business, don't let your age scare you. Don't let your ideas scare you. I started the magazine at a time where magazines were shutting down. And the first 2 years, we were print as well as digital. So people are like, what on earth are you doing? You're starting a print magazine when the big print companies are closing their magazines down. So your idea don't necessarily let the outside voices, because sometimes we, our best medium friends, don't get where your vision is. And they are lovingly trying to be supportive, but in a way that they're like, are you sure you want to do that? Maybe not. Maybe it's not the right timing. Or maybe you got to have this, this, this. listen to your gut. If your gut tells you to do something, I say go for it. My gut said, this is what I had to do. This is where I needed to be. And the rest of it is just what it is.
And how do you listen to your gut? What tips do you have for people to really tune in to? I think that's important because we do tend to take in what everybody else says, and then we can't get to that quiet space of what do I really want? What should I really do? And it's almost like we know deep down inside. Is there a way that you get there? Find that?
You know, I am a prayerful, meditative person. So I start my mornings off in silence prayer. So depending on what you know, who you believe, what your belief is, meditation, prayer, whatever you want to call it. I spend a good hour or so each morning just really trying to hone out everything and all the noises. You know, some people get up and the first thing they do is go to their phones. Yeah, and then there's all that sort of, or they get onto their computers and get, I just spend that time truly in just meditation and trying to listen to what is right for me. What do I want to do today? And I just listen. And then there are moments sometimes where like, I will just be like, I'll be out hiking, or maybe I'm even driving the car. Driving the car one's the worst one, because then I got to pull my phone up, put on my recorder, because I'll just get this moment where it's like, oh, okay. And I have to somehow record it because I know I won't remember it afterwards just while I'm driving. So it's just a matter of just giving yourself the quiet time. I think if we really spent more time, rather it's your lunch hour, rather it's a quick 15 minutes where you just totally shut out everybody else and just say, hey, what, ask yourself the questions. That's what I'll do. I'll ask myself the questions. We have this sisterhood experience coming up in September, and coming into it, I just kept kind of wavering a little bit. And then finally one morning I just sat there and went, okay, am I supposed to be doing this? I need, give me something. Am I supposed to be doing this? And this peace came over me like you wouldn't believe, and just said, well, yeah. And then I started looking at the details for it and thought, okay, this is gonna be a little too crazy. I might not be able to have it happen. But then because I listened to myself and I filled out an informational form, I got a call from our venue out of the blue. And everything I wanted to have happen is now happening for that, because I took that gut and just went ahead and filled out this little form. Nobody's going to respond back. It's a small event. And boom, here we are. So.
Yeah. And tell us about the event. What's happening?
Oh my gosh. September of 2024. We are taking over Estes Park, Colorado for 3 days. It is a midlife sisterhood experience about celebrating yourself, filling your cup, as I've been talking about. We have speakers, amazing speakers coming in. What I love about this event is we're doing it in the Estes Valley Community Center. So you go to an event and sometimes there are stages, and I'm not calling it an event because it really is an experience. We don't have a stage. You're going to be sitting amongst the women that are speaking to us. We will have speakers. We will have activities happening that just kind of will fill your soul. It's really aimed at being a personal or businesswoman, whatever you are, there's something for everybody to come out of it that you can put into your everyday life. And it's just really about celebrating midlife. Obviously with the magazine featuring silver women, we will be talking silver, but a lot of the stuff that we'll be talking about, doesn't matter what age you are, doesn't matter what color your hair is, it's still there. It's all about just embracing this idea of women coming together as a community and uplifting and celebrating one another. And really the concept that, you know, there's enough pie for all of us. Sometimes we get kind of caught up. They're like, oh no, like I can't share this with you. You know, this is about me, but there's so much pie, and you know, you might not like cherry. I might like apple. There's piece pie for everybody. And so this event is really meant to bring us all together. And we've got special surprises happening out through those 3 days that we will not tell anybody about until you're there at that event, because we're just, you know, so I'm a little giddy when it comes to this event. So our first one, it will be that we're going to do it annually, but this first one is going to be a really amazing kickoff for the magazine to have this annual sisterhood experience.
Awesome. Awesome. That sounds wonderful. And where can people find your magazine?
So tangledsilvermagazine.com is the best place to look. We're on all the social networks as well. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, or we're all over on those things. Or you can reach out to me directly. You can email me at robin@tangledsilvermag.com. So we've shortened the magazine to mag.com, but you can reach me there as well if you have questions.
That sounds great. And are you looking for stories, or if somebody thinks they have a really good
story,
maybe they should reach out to you then?
Yes, I will tell you that a woman reached out to me just the other day out of the blue, and I returned her email, and we had a fabulous conversation, and she is going to be one of my covers for this year, just because I was so touched by the conversation we had and just the energy level she had. So yes, I'm always on the lookout. Rather you want to be in it with your story, or rather you want to submit a story and write yourself, or maybe you have information that you think we need to know about in midlife, such as like menopause. That's always a topic because we all travel that one kind of crazy, that I find it's really great to hear from other women sharing some of what they've gone through, because you go, oh, I'm not alone. Or like with aging parents, where I'm always looking for topics that will help women in general find what's going to make this their next best thing. Rather, it's, you know, we got to live day by day, but let's make it a little bit easier by kind of listening to maybe somebody who has some fellow advice that will help us make this little piece easier.
Yes, I am right there with you. With this podcast is the same goal. let's make our midlife our best life, and
yes,
and moving on. So Robin, thank you so much for what you do for women everywhere, silver or blonde or brunette or whatever color they are and whatever age they are. I think it's great to rock who you are and be authentic. And you've shared so much great information, and I so appreciate you being on the podcast with me. Thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very honored that you asked to invite me on here. So thank you.
I had so much fun listening to Robin, and she is such an inspiration. I love her magazine and highly encourage you to check it out and learn more about her. If you got a lot from this interview too, please like and subscribe and do all those things you can to help us get this information out to more people. I'm Janie Genosis with Reinvention Ready. Thanks for being here today. Go out and make the rest of your life your best life. I'll see you soon.